Hey everybody, welcome to episode 9 of A Bite from Adam's Apple. I am Jack.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Kate.
I'm Garrett, and this is another bite from Adam's Apple.
Today we watched a movie called The Killer Next Door or Ronnie. I think those are the two titles for it.
Yeah.
It was an interesting movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who wants to tackle giving a plot summary?
It's not as hard as last week's.
So, Adam Scott, this is actually Adam Scott's first starring role.
Yeah.
He is the first IMDb listed page.
In the credits.
In the credits.
That is true.
Do you think he has the most screen time?
No, I actually don't. I think his brother did.
Actually.
I think his brother actually had more screen time. But
I don't know, he had a lot in the beginning.
Yeah. I don't know. There wasn't a whole lot of screen time anyway.
You could say it's
only about an hour and 10 minutes long.
It's like hour 20 maybe. I feel like there were like multiple stories going on.
Yeah, okay. So you have Adam Scott, who is he's kind of a jerk.
He's Ronnie.
He's Ronnie. This character's name is Ronnie. He's the title role. He has a job at his next door house, right?
Is it the next door?
A little bit down the street or something.
Yeah, it's like
he
five blocks away.
He works for
maybe four. I don't know. That's stretching it.
He's stretching it.
Yeah.
It's like five. he's a caregiver at a mental institution.
It's Hope House.
Where we only ever see three
patients besides.
Oh yeah,
Sarah.
Four because there's Winston at the beginning. What happened to Winston?
There was Winston, Peter, and
that's the real question.
The TV girl,
Betty girl, who like,
Betty.
Okay. Hashtag where's Winston?
So he's a caretaker there. He gives him medicine and stuff. One of the people there is named Sarah, who is perhaps the most out of it all and kind of one of the central plot points in the movie. So she kind of wanders out on her own at the beginning of the movie, and Adam is like into the street, and it's important to note that a Jeep passes by her.
This is important way later. But not really important, actually.
These shady people in a Jeep roll up, kind of scream at her.
We called them Jeep guys because we don't actually know what their characters' names are.
Now, at this point, they're completely irrelevant. But don't worry.
Hold on to that information. So, Adam Scott, Ronnie, whatever. You know who I'm talking about. He,
Adam Scott.
Wait, we gotta count that down. Ready?
Okay.
0.5, 1.
1.5, 2,
2.5,
3.5,
no, we
got
2.5!
Oh, yeah. I get it.
That's great. Adam Scott!
Alright,
there we go.
He found Sarah in the middle of the street, just wandering around. She is, and he brings her back to his house. And that's kind of important. Not the Hope House, his house.
And I'd like to point out, his house is actually, like, his mother lives in a bigger house directly next to his. This is kind of important later, because you see him originally in the main house, but then he lives in his side house, and he takes Sarah back to his side house.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to keep going, or do you want to keep going?
One of the plot points is his brother is a criminal, and he's about to come out of prison. Okay. What did he do? What did he go to prison for?
Slapped a cop or something?
Assault or something like that.
I don't know.
And Adam Scott is not into that because his brother was a bully to him earlier in life. So he shoots a toilet. He goes into like a secret agent mode, like James Bond.
This is my favorite scene in the whole movie, by the way.
It was.
We'll get to this when we talk about Adam Scott's favorite part of his performance. Let's keep going.
The plot. Skip it for now.
It is important to the plot because he shoots the toilet for a purpose, and that purpose is to frame his brother. Right?
Because his brother's supposed to be the only one that has access to this gun. His father gave the guns to the son that went to jail, but then Adam Scott uses it to shoot the toilet.
Okay.
Now, Adam Scott is all alone at the house because his mother is in the hospital.
Because she fell out of the taxi.
Oh, yeah.
She's in this hospital because she was getting a ride to, like, get more drugs or something.
Cigarettes.
Okay. And she made the taxi driver upset. I'm not sure why. My theory was
she told her that she had like Medicaid or something.
Yeah, I think she was on like welfare or something, and the taxi driver wasn't a fan of that. So the taxi driver, in her evil plot to hurt Adam's mother, Ronnie's mother, turns the taxi as fast as she can.
They're at a stop. They're at a complete stop when it starts. And she just turns it and hits the gas pedal.
She turns as fast as she can, and Ronnie's mother magically falls out of the taxi.
Flies. I would use the word flies out of the taxi, because she went a good 5 meters from where the taxi was.
And rolls on the ground, and then ends up in the hospital.
We were convinced.
It's just a way to get her out of the plot of the movie, I guess.
Out of the house. They just need, like, a way to get her out of the house.
You know what I like to bring up? At this point, there's a lot of talk about how they're about to move to Oregon. Now, this is completely disregarded by the end of the movie, and no one talks about it after, like, 45 minutes into the movie. But, like, so his brother's talking about moving to Oregon and bringing Adam along. And
maybe.
Maybe bringing Adam along.
And Mystery Man may go, too.
And there's this random guy who we're pretty sure comes in later, but we're not positive because we couldn't see him in the frame, who says, and he's going to take me, too, if I'm lucky. And we don't see him.
Yeah, it was so bizarre, because they're just in the hospital, they're talking about going to Oregon, you see three characters in the shot, and then off-screen, this guy just butts in, saying that he's going to go with them to Oregon. But getting back to Adam's, what's the word? Plot? Time?
Sure.
Timeline?
The plot. Yeah.
I don't think there's one word to accurately describe whatever it is.
He takes Sarah in, and, where does it go from here? They're watching cartoons.
Yeah, watching cartoons, and he tries to, like, take advantage of her.
Make a move. No, I wouldn't say that.
He kisses her on the cheek.
Yeah, he doesn't go that far. We were scared he was going to go far, but he just kind of kisses her on the cheek, which is
it was a weird scene.
It was an awkward scene.
Yeah.
But then at that point,
Ronnie shows up. Adam goes to answer the door. And when he comes back, Sarah's gone.
Wait, you're switching between names within sentences, kid. I got confused. I think Ronnie shows up. You said Ronnie shows up, and Adam goes to answer the door.
Sorry. I think his real name is Keith.
Keith
is Ronnie's brother.
I'm completely wrong about that, but okay. I'm pretty sure.
Ronnie's brother, from this point on called Keith, even though we're not sure that's his name. Keith shows up. Ronnie goes to answer the door. Keith gets some money from Ronnie. Ronnie goes back in, and Sarah's not in the room anymore. She's now in the bathroom, where she's taken off all her clothes and thrown them into the toilet. Right? And so he's like, oh, gosh, put your clothes back on.
I can't turn you back in at this point. Yes. Because
you have reasons.
Yeah.
So he tries to take her clothes out of the toilet, and he's trying to get them back on her. And he accidentally knocks her over and hits her head against the wall. And her nose begins to bleed. And she seems really out of it at this point. So what's the only reasonable course of action from this point? It's to tie her up to a bed and force feed her medicine. I mean, that's what a reasonable person would do.
Maybe it was necessary for her condition.
No.
Seriously, like at this point in the movie, he still could have explained what
had happened.
Like, he could have just been like, I brought her inside, helped her out a little bit, and then I knocked her over because she took her clothes off.
Yeah,
yeah. But
which is a normal thing for her.
We actually see that she has done this earlier in the movie while at Hope Home.
All right, but then we get to the important part of the story.
How long is this part?
Wait, is this the dog on the roof
scene?
No, God, no.
This is the party scene.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We cut to Keith at I don't know.
He's close to the party.
Okay, but at mom's house. Locations are kind of fuzzy for me. I know that.
Okay, he was at his mom's house, he hosted a party, and these two guys come over. You have Fat Tarzan, and you have,
Beanie Boy. Fat Tarzan, aka Mystery Man.
Oh yeah, we're pretty sure he's a Mystery
Man. Possibly Mystery Man.
And Beanie Boy.
Okay.
Right, and they're sitting there, and they're doing, they've got some sandwiches there.
It's just cocaine.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe heroin.
Lines of sandwiches.
Okay, so anyway, they kind of get a little bit off the rockers, we could say.
Just a little bit.
They got a little excited.
And at that point, they're like partying and
screaming.
We have Fat Tarzan who slowly loses his clothing and starts to
run. It wasn't slow. It was immediate.
That was probably
the best part of the whole.
Okay, this was my favorite part as Scott's performance, obviously. But
Fat Tarzan.
Fat Tarzan. He wasn't Fat Tarzan prior to this, but he kind of wanders off back into the house. They're all outside trying to grill something or something like that. He kind of wanders back into the house, and then suddenly, spontaneously, he begins to do karate.
In two times, like, they speed up the clips like two times speed. So yeah. It's like super fast karate.
Yeah, he just starts doing karate in midair, cut back to the people outside. They say like two a lot.
They have a shot of hamburgers.
Yeah. And then they cut back to now fully transformed Fat Tarzan, who is only in like.
What Tarzan?
Leathered skin, like.
Man bong. Yeah.
Where the rest of his clothes, though? We may never know. It's a good question.
This very comedic scene was followed up by a less comedic scene.
Where he...
loved a character that we have yet to introduce.
So Fat Tarzan is with the fiance or girlfriend of Keith. And she's been kind of following Keith around the whole movie. So we've kind of seen her a little bit. Fat Tarzan proceeds to hug Keith's girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say that.
Now, the problem was this hug was unconsented while she was showering.
And at that point, she lets out a slight squeal.
Minor.
That is heard from outdoors. And okay. Keith comes back in.
Keith becomes slightly agitated.
You could say that. And decides to pull out his gun.
And this is when Fat Tarzan makes a run for it.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention the police dogs that have been roaming the neighborhood for Sarah. Because she's still alive.
The hardest movie to explain ever. It's so terrible.
Okay, so he's running, police dog sees him, and because he's got some sugar on him.
Stop using metaphors.
I mean, you're a euphemism.
This was the most bizarre scene of the entire film.
He's sprinting down the road in just a loincloth, followed by a dog. At this point, we hear police sirens. Police drives up. We see...
No, you forgot his encounter with Vito.
Oh, yeah. He finds another dog and puts it on a roof. This will be important later. Just like
the Jeep people. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention, while they're having their party, the Jeep people make a second return, just as insignificant, where they steal a bike and they leave.
So, okay, that's a little earlier. But, so he's running down the road, and at this point we see a police officer running toward him, or driving toward him. Police car.
And there's a police dog chasing him.
Yeah, okay, so he's kind of cornered at this point. But the police officer car swerves. But he runs toward the direction where it swerves, and we just see blood fly in front of the, windshield. So we have this Tarzan.
Yeah, it cuts to the police officer's perspective, and then suddenly on the windshield is just this giant explosion of, like, blood?
Of, like, gore.
Yeah, we were legitimately convinced that they just run over Fat Tarzan.
But we see a different shot later that he had actually hit the police dog, which was kind of sad. That was the worst casualty of the movie. So anyway, at that point, you have Keith and Beanie Boy, who have picked up the gun.
We need to speed this plot along.
Yeah, and they're driving up, they're looking around for him, and we cut back to Adam's storyline. At this point, Adam's storyline, he walks outside, he sees Keith's girlfriend, they kind of talk for a second, they see that there's a dog on his roof. They look up, she's going to get the dog off the roof, then their neighbor comes over.
Vito Lady,
because Vito's name the dog. Vito Lady comes over and says, why did you put my car, or my why did you put my dog on the roof? She said, she's like, I didn't. And Vito Lady ends up calling the police. Police come over. Adam Scott sprays Lysol, but that's way earlier. Okay, so anyway, at that point, basically what happens is Keith comes home. They have a, like, he got arrested. 3-4-5 minute cleaning montage where they clean the house. And at that point...
After they do more some more drugs.
Yeah, that's right. And then Keith comes up to Adam's house and he's just angry. Oh yeah, because he shot the toilet. He shot the toilet. And that's why he's angry, because he can't clean the full house because the toilet's broken. And so...
And he knows that he stole his gun.
Oh yeah, because he knows he used the gun that was given to Keith by their dad.
And apparently he thought it necessary to bring the entire toilet outside of the house to show Adam the toilet that he shot.
This movie could be a great example of Chekhov's gun. Every random action in this actually has a point. Oh, I mean, the points are ridiculous, but...
Okay, let's finish the plot summary. So they start fist fighting, and then suddenly, just out of nowhere, Keith has a knife in his hand. And then the girlfriend says, I'm going to call the police. She runs inside. He runs inside, unplugs the phone, runs back outside to start fighting him again with a gun this time. Adam has a gun. They have kind of a gun standoff. Keith's in the road, and the Jeep guys come to the rescue.
So then he's trying to get his gun out of
the car.
And the Jeep guys see it from a long way away.
And they say, let's hook a large mouth with a fishing pole in their hand. I'm convinced they tried to fish him out while driving. They tried to convince me they didn't.
That's what the movie tried to portray. That's what they tried to show.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're not sure if they actually hit him with a fishing rod or hit him with a car.
But the next thing we see is gore everywhere. And the Jeep guys just stop. And they stare. And there's just bloody Jeep. At this point, their mom comes home.
From the hospital,
after being there.
A taxi guy just drops her off.
Yeah, she just gets dropped off, and she's like, hey, where's Keith? And then there's a cool shot where he's dead on the ground, and she's looking at Adam, and she turns to her left, and there's dead Keith. And then they all scream, the police officers come, and then she's still standing outside. Adam runs back upstairs, pulls out a gun, and shoots at the Jeep guys while the police officers are surrounding him. Then everybody goes crazy. His mom comes upstairs. She's like, did you hug this other girl?
She saw Sarah.
Oh, yeah, she saw Sarah up
because
there.
He's in his house now, right?
No, they're in the big. They're in the big house.
Yeah.
Oh, they're upstairs in the big house, and she's like, "Did you hug Sarah?" And Adam's like, "No." And then she's like, "Yeah, you did. I hate you. You're not my son anymore." She starts to fall away. Adam gets upset. He's still got a gun.
He's trying to hug her.
Yeah, he's trying to hug her, and then
not that hug is how we've been using
it. Literally hug.
Okay, and then so she tries to run away. He slips, falls on the ground. The gun hits the ground. He shoots his mom. And then this is the best part. This is the best part of the whole movie. It ends right there. He gets arrested. And there's just this, it looks like it's trying to tell you that it's a true story.
Yeah.
Because it uses his full name, and it's like, he got sent to prison to see if he could get, or he got sent to a mental institute.
This is like an epilogue.
Yeah, it was kind of like news coverage.
Yeah.
And he's like, they say, he was sent to a mental institute to see if he was well enough to be tried. But while he was in his cell, he wasn't there anymore because he left through an unlocked door. End.
Which is a plot point that was not brought up earlier in the movie. So, screw your Chekhov's gun thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
And welcome to the, 20-minute plot synopsis of this movie.
Oh my god.
This is the most convoluted movie.
Oh god.
It was entertaining at points.
Yeah, it was... I think the beginning and the end, minus the, random cryptic end where he managed to escape prison, the beginning and the ends were actually kind of neat. It was interesting. And in the middle...
The whole middle. I think we need to move on to our next segment, though. Favorite part of Adam Scott's performance, Jack?
Definitely at the very beginning, they had... I mean, it was... For some reason, they decided to show the very last scene of the movie at the very beginning, and then show it again at the very end. But they had this weird, jump cut on his face, and they just, zoomed in, and it was so... poorly made, but it was so funny.
The quality was really low, and it did the triple zoom where it was dump, 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 and then cut to black, and the movie started. And that was pretty good. That gave us a good impression of how the movie was going to start.
Andrew, what's your favorite part?
I'm going to take the good one.
Okay.
Alright, during the special agent Adam Scott scene.
Oh, before he shoots the toilet.
Before he shoots the toilet, just kind of walking around with a gun, and there's spy music playing in the background. There's a shot where he stuck behind the wall and makes a funny face and goes
for absolutely no reason. But it was the most amazing thing.
He cracked up.
Oh gosh. Oh man. I know there were great parts of this movie.
I know my favorite part.
Oh gosh.
The grill scene.
Go ahead, Cade.
Yeah, but the grill scene wasn't part of Adam Scott's performance.
Oh yeah.
Okay, here's my favorite part of Adam Scott's performance. He's just gone out and he's trying to get rid of the smell because they talked about how the dogs will track the Sarah smell from anywhere in the neighborhood. So he's spraying Lysol. He finished spraying Lysol. He goes inside and he's distraught. So he just sits down, slumps against the wall, and beats his head with both hands five times.
Grabbing at his scalp.
Yeah, and he's and then it cuts. That is the best part for me.
I myself quite enjoyed whenever, after he shot at the police officers, and his mom comes up, and he's all confused and stuff, and she's like, what? why did you shoot outside? And he gets the most dazed look on his face. He's like, I don't know. That's pretty good. Also the whole Vito scene where they're trying to get the dog off the roof.
Yes,
and she's like, hey, there's a dog on your roof. And he walks outside and he's like, oh, there is.
I like how this has gotten a lot easier to do different parts of Adam Scott's performance rather than race car ballet on a different partner in 2 minutes. Okay, so our next segment is probably going to be the, I can't say it, I never
remember. Podline Theory Universe.
The Adam Scott Podline Theory Universe.
So the nice thing about this one is that the final word of the movie is he escaped and no one knows where he is. So I'm going to say that this just kind of was placed in the years between the one where they're in the cabin. What's that called? Lesser Evil. Just during
that's what life. That's exactly what we said during.
But I mean, these flow. These are his life story.
Maybe when he was arrested, he was also discovered to be the same guy who.
So he had two skirmishes with the law and tried to shoot people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean. Most of his movies, he's not on the side of the law.
We need to write out this pilot theory.
Yeah, we need to make an intro.
I've already forgotten all the points where they.
There's a point. There's a long time where he was a demon, and they got.
I think this would be better. As the morphine part.
Well, this is also changed bodies or something. He became someone else. I don't know.
He went to the future and then he went back to the past.
Yeah, he was demon.
Okay,
it's got Marty McFly.
Okay, would you recommend this movie, guys?
Jack, would you recommend this movie?
No. It was too just stupidly vulgar. All the dialogue was so just dumb in this movie. I felt like the content.
They had a hotkey for the F word on theirs while they're script writing. They had a shortcut.
I don't know. I just didn't think it was that. I mean, it was more entertaining than some movies we've seen, but it's still not worth it.
Andrew?
Yes, absolutely.
Of course. And why?
It was amazing.
Okay.
Soundtrack was great.
Soundtrack was good.
The soundtrack was good. I like the soundtrack.
And it is ridiculous enough to warrant another watch.
Right, Dave.
We've seen worse.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
I don't think I'd recommend it. If I were just talking to someone, I'd be like, hey, you want to see a bunch of people get high on cocaine and then say intelligible things for 15 to 20 minutes? Then this is the movie for you.
I would also agree with Kate.
None of you are recommending this movie?
No, not really. I would not say, hey, go spend an hour and 10 minutes of your time watching people.
Do you want people to hate you?
So, I think our next segment is going to be, how would you rate the Adam Scott movies we've watched in order of least best to greatest?
Least to greatest.
Alright, we did forget to add Seven in a Match.
I don't remember what mine.
Actually, I do. I think mine's right above it. Alright, I'll go first because I have the spreadsheet in front of me. From least to greatest, it's going to be Hellraiser, Seven in a Match, The Lesser Evil, Frankie the Fly, Dinner and Driving. Here's a toss-up.
This is between Star Trek and this movie.
Yeah, The Killer Next Door.
Are you kidding me?
Star Trek, The Killer Next Door.
Are you kidding me?
Girl Payback.
What? No.
Who wants to go next? Garrett, you want to go next?
No, everybody hates my list.
Okay.
You and your very convoluted list.
Okay. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Let's go. Star Trek.
It has. It's moved down. It's now the least favorite movie.
That way it was that way last week. I promise. Lesser Evil.
Is it completely changing?
Dinner and Driving.
Pretty much.
Hellraiser. Frankie the Fly. Seven in a Match. Payback. Girl. The Killer Next Door. Wait, no, I'm going to change that. Girl is at the top for me.
Yeah. Oh my god.
This movie, Killer Next Door, is second best.
Second best, okay. Yeah.
That makes one of us.
All right.
He thinks it's the second best.
Okay, are you ready for a normal list? Okay, Hellraiser, Frankie the Fly, 7 in a match, dinner driving, girl, this, killer next door, plus your evil Star Trek payback. Your turn here.
Alright, here's the real list. We're gonna start off with the worst movie we've watched is 7 in a match.
I guess I can.
Followed by Frankie Fly. Followed by Dinner Driving. And then Girl. And then the movie we just watched, Killer Next Door. Then probably Hellraiser. And then The Lesser Evil. Then Star Trek. And then Payback. Payback was really good.
Yeah.
So was Hellraiser. That's going to conclude our list segment for today.
Stop doing this list segment.
It's getting so hard.
Yeah.
We have to like keep the worst movie and then the best movie, maybe. I think we need to ask Adam a question.
This is true.
Yeah.
What's it like in Oregon?
Because we never got to went to Oregon.
How did you get out of jail so easily?
Yeah, well, who unlocked the door?
did you put the dog on the roof? Because we don't know how the dog got on the roof.
We think it was Fat Tarzan.
I think it was Adam.
That's okay. Yeah, Adam was freaking out about the dog, obviously, because he thought it was
the dog was just on the roof. Now, okay, what I want to know is, was this based off of a true story? Because it sure sounded like it by the end, or like it was trying to be.
Or was it based off of a false story?
Like, probably more fiction. Like a fiction, yeah. Alright, well, I think that concludes episode 9.
But remember to tell your friends to open their ear holes to this podcast, as we promote our podcast on our podcast.
Yes. Available on iTunes, Stream FM? Player FM?
Player FM, and it's now available on Stitcher, actually, which is a popular Android podcast
app. Another thing, we have
cool beans!
I think we're gonna, if we haven't had this before, we have a little challenge on what you can do to help promote our podcast. If you could write this on one of your aglets, so that your friends who are tying your shoes can see the name of the podcast. We need a challenge.
If we ever get like a merchandise store, you gotta have a buy from Adam's Apple feedback. That's it.
So we'll be looking out for that coming in.
So if you're tying anybody's shoes, write it on their aglets.
I think we should make bibs. Like a buy from Adam's Apple bibs. That would probably go well. I don't know what you think.
Match box.
Whoever said that in a match. Yeah. How about a circle device from Hellraiser, whatever that was.
A stick of gum for Frankie the Fly. Yeah, that's good.
Can we get sued for this?
No. And just put Adam's picture on there without consent?
He wouldn't mind, right?
Well, I think that about sums it up. Thank you for listening, opening your ear holes. You are now, well, give us a second, but you're about to be able to close your ear holes right after I tell you. Join us next time for yet another bite of Adam's Apple.